you. The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Welcome, everyone. Mr. Ellis, will you please lead us in the pledge?
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Steckel, please call the roll.
Mr. Chadwick?
Here.
Mr. Bondrand?
Here.
Here.
Howard?
Here.
Mr.
Glass?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Here. Is there anyone present who would like to publicly present to the board? Okay, hearing none. Presentations, reports, and initiative updates.
Okay, we're going to begin this evening with our annual Teams for Excellence update, and I'd like to introduce to the board my co-chair, Kim Barron, who is the literacy specialist at Lincoln, and we served this year in our first time together as a co-chair team, and it was absolutely a great experience for me to be able to work with Kim and prepare our agendas for CIT. So Kim's going to begin with the TFES update, and I'll do the BLT.
Well, I'll return a compliment. It was an absolute honor and a pleasure to work with Dr. Rebecca this year as co-chair with CIT, and I look forward to next year as well. So tonight we're going to highlight some of the accomplishments and next steps from all the TFEs that they put forward to CIT this year. And so we're going to start with CIT's accomplishments. You, I believe, have a more exhaustive list in front of you, so tonight I will just highlight a few that I'm not reading directly to you. But one of the, if I were to look at this year's CIT in a nutshell, I would probably say it's been one of knowledge building around the long-range plan, which has in turn really informed our vision, our visioning, and our planning work that we accomplished this year. We did a lot of work with the long-range plan. We built ownership around it. We developed an in-depth understanding of the long-range plan. We even did some branding of the long-range plan, including coming up with a slogan, "It's our future, own it." We also, one of the greatest things that I'm really excited about is built a two-year plan, which will be our work's going to be for the next years to come with regard to the long-range plan, and we're kind of really looking forward to starting that. Our next step, some of the next steps that we're looking to go for is obviously to carry out that two-year plan and potentially look at the scorecard. We didn't do a whole lot of work with the scorecard this year because we really thought that it's probably going to change. And so next year we're looking at revising it, realigning it, especially in light of how the new state assessments might come out. We obviously have the Common Core think tank work and 21st century learning. So we're going to be looking at that as some of our next steps. We also have heard from LLT, and that team really focused a lot of their work on the learner characteristics this year. I think we just need to go through it. Yeah. They worked with learning characteristics, which included creating a PowerPoint that was brought to all the schools and presented to the teachers, where they looked at the learning characteristics, narrowed them down to 10 that we really want to start moving forward with, so that the teachers are really well-versed in it, the students then become well-versed in it, and as a result, it actually started coming to fruition in the classroom, and by the end of the school year, you can walk into many of the classrooms, and teachers are already talking to kids about those learner characteristics that they're going to need for 21st century learning. One of the neatest things that I thought that they brought up was one of their accomplishments is that they evolved into a true study group, a PLC, if you will, and I think when they did that, it really helped inform all their work that they did in response to curriculum updates this year. Having that knowledge base, that shared philosophy and understanding of what we want learning to look like, obviously then informs all the work that they do in the curriculum. Some of their next steps are to engage more deeply in the learning characteristics, and they're going to do that by creating a student survey, a self-assessment, if you will, where the kids are going to evaluate themselves on the learning characteristics, highlighting the ones that they feel like they're doing really well, create some goals around the ones that they would like to embrace even further. They will also do a lot of work on 21st century learning, especially in the area of problem-based learning or project-based learning. PDT also reported to CIT in terms of their accomplishments. And about midpoint in the year or so, they had asked all the BLTs what they felt were the needs of their staff in terms of professional development, and they used that input to plan the professional development for the remainder of the year and into next year. And that is definitely an accomplishment. They also, getting back to learning characteristics, took January's Institute Day and really linked that to the learning characteristics, another way of getting that out to all the stakeholders. Their next steps are to continue to plan professional development that advances the long-range plan that's aligned to it, and also support staff with the new Common Core standards as they come out in all the disciplines. What was really, really kind of neat in our most recent CIT, two CIT meetings ago when we were doing this, we were sitting down sharing all the accomplishments and next steps, and we realized that there was a lot of alignment. There was a shared accomplishment that all the teams had started to move in the same direction. And so excitingly, we realized that we had not just been isolated groups any longer, working in our own little bubble. Mm-hmm. We kind of joined together. So I'm happy to report that all the teams at some point in the year had reached out to other TFEs, and then they collectively built a great an interconnection with each other, that we started working on shared goals really aligned to the long-range plan. All the teams have made learning characteristics a focus for their work. They all had begun to develop a shared understanding of what 21st century learning is. At the beginning of the school year, quite honestly, I think I knew what 21st century learning was, or I think I had the gist of it. But really, we have delved into it and developed a greater understanding, and that was common throughout all the TFEs. We also built a roadmap. All the TFEs at some point built a roadmap that embraces the nature of continuous growth and improvement. And this is the part that's really neat. It all resulted in what we claimed as synergy at that meeting. The term synergy came in, and I think it was Gail Hansen who had further defined synergy for us as synchronized energy. And what a powerful thing. So you have these great, these groups of amazing people who have a wealth of knowledge in many disciplines and areas all coming together, working towards a long-range plan. So it's no longer a document on paper, but it becomes something that is living and that we're working towards. And so that's really exciting. So in moving along with that synergy, we also realized that we have collective shared next steps. We decided to move together, move forward together, and we will continue to build a knowledge of the long-range plan and the work with of the team outside of the TMB structure. So we're going to start to branch out to all the stakeholders. One of the ways that we're going to do that is a TMB summit, I believe it's September 23rd, and the TFEs are going to come together. We're going to have a common understanding of the long-range plan. We're going to create common language and a plan for moving forward. We also will be building a communication plan and branding long-range plan, trying to get it out into the community. We've already have, it's our future own it. Bring it across the district. We even have a visual in the work that looks really great that we'll be able to put out. And we all have also said that we're going to support and connect with the work of the think tank, which, as you know, is moving in the direction of 21st century learning. So it's really just everyone coming together. It's been an amazing year. Big accomplishment.
Thanks, Kim. And very quickly, the BLTs, which are our building leadership teams, rather than highlight each of their individual accomplishments and next steps, I think I can collectively say that they are all in a similar place as it relates to their school improvement processes. And perhaps one of the most exciting pieces of that is that the use of data, which, you know, might have been, you know, don't use the D word, or it was something that we struggled with before in terms of how does data really work for us, and how do we make sure that we're not just looking at data, but that in fact the data we use is meaningful to us in improving student learning. And I think we can comfortably say that all of our BLTs own their own data at the grade level, classroom level all the way up through the building level and their reporting. And that because of that, they're able to mark the changes that they are making in their schools and able to really see that improvement. And I think we also saw a change this year in bringing that goal setting and that data examination down to the student level. And we're seeing, you know, we've been talking about goal setting at the student level for quite some time. And I think this year was the year we really saw more effect of that student level goal setting. And I think we have to thank Matt for that in a lot of ways. And now that we have Odyssey, that's going to even, I think, assist with goal setting for students at that level. The other thing that all of our schools worked on this year is the implementation of PBIS and building the response to intervention pyramid. And while we're all at a little different place in that journey, I really was amazed and happy to see how far along we've begun to build that common language about a very complex process. And response to intervention is something that is complicated. It's something that looking at it from the standpoint that it is just part of our continuous improvement, it's not something new, and being able to embed that into the school building process has been a real accomplishment. And so the BLTs for their next steps, I think really relates to looking at the 21st century learning experience. I think one of the reasons we want to hold a TFE summit is that we want to make sure that the BLTs are immersed as deeply as the other teams are in the long-range plan, and that they see the connection between the long-range plan and the school improvement plan. We want to make sure that the PLC culture is deepening and being built even more strongly, which we think ties directly to the long-range plan. And one of the things that's emerged this year in terms of our conversations with principals and their BLTs is writing expectations and assuring that we have aligned those writing expectations across all of our schools over the course of the next year. So we are very excited about the work that has occurred this year in the Teams for Excellence. And as Kim said, the idea that synergy has been created among the teams and that the long-range plan has been the center piece for that synergy is really exciting. So we're happy to answer any questions.
When did you say that the TFE summit was going to be?
September 23rd, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a Thursday.
I think
it's
a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was like.
That's not the right date, then. It's a Thursday.
The 20th or the 20th or 27th?
Fourth Thursday.
27th. Got it.
Yeah, we can come together on the 23rd.
The last year.
Thank you.
Just a comment. I mean, it's interesting that we've had all these alphabet soup type teams for so long, and to see them finally, you know, be working at the levels that you guys had envisioned, or I should say previous people, you know, when it got started, but to have it all finally come together is wonderful to hear. Thank you.
What's the agenda for the summit? I mean, do you propose changes to the structure of the team?
The summit is really about focusing and deepening the work on the long-range plan and sending it outward more deeply into the system, and what roles will we all play in doing that. And so what deeper knowledge do we as team members need in order to make the long-range plan and the expectations that are in that plan come alive in each of our buildings and among all the stakeholders?
And the cross-articulation, too, is going to be really important, because we were all working on what 21st century learning looks like. And we want to make sure that it's common, and there's common language between us, and we have a shared understanding in the direction where we're going to go. So there's going to be some of that alignment of the groups, and then as well as visioning moving forward.
And understanding the needs of each group. You know, so that there's that two-way communication. And I think that's been another thing that we felt pretty strongly about is that the ability for the teams to communicate with one another. And we still probably have some work to do with the building leadership teams, you know, because they come quarterly, three times to CIT. But and fortunately, the co-chairs of PDT and LLT are there, so there's always that information sharing, but we want to make sure that those conversations are deep and authentic, too.
No, I'm just wondering, since Teams for Excellence were a large part of the discussions on the last contract, or in the midst of it, I mean, are there implications from either side in terms of contract implications and changes or
I think one of the best things about that comment, Steve, is that we have such a strong commitment to this structure that I think it will always be a part of our conversations, whether we're negotiating in an evergreen manner, you know, or whether we're actually having, you know, contractual conversations. But it highlights the importance of the teams, and I think the strong mutual commitment that we have in the district.
Is there still a lot of interest on the teacher side in filling all the positions? Do we have enough people, more than we need, to fill it out, or, you know, in terms of all the things?
Okay, well, to Sue, she's in the audience.
And yeah, okay, good.
We have more than enough.
Great.
Yes.
Okay.
At our last CIT meeting, and I know, Steve, you served in the capacity to be able to attend those, and Tara before you, and it is it's a different lens, and there were five members who were rolling off this last meeting, and just the comments from them about being able to see the growth, a little bit to your point, Steve, of moving from what might be described as more siloed by nature as you start a process, and then really understanding, because the long-range plan is that umbrella, how they, you know, plug into that but also work together, was just really clarified at the last meeting as people rolled off, and then we, you know, were welcoming new members on board. And
surprisingly emotional.
Yes, it was. I mean, it's just a real, and I think really, and to your point, Steve, I think, and to Tara, your point earlier about this kind of initial, you know, what are all these acronyms and what do they really do? This kind of process takes such a long time to embed itself, but then also to be owned, as you've been saying. So for me, even just this last year of sitting in on those meetings and seeing the growth was great. And I guess the other thought I had is that, you know, any of us that are involved in what can be pretty complex structures, to sit there and be listening, you know, often really as an outsider asking questions on some level, but you made it look relatively seamless, and I won't use the word simple as in simplistic, but easy to manage, and I think it's because of the commitment, et cetera. So this, you know, summary is, you know, the tip of the iceberg in terms of the depth of information. So for me, that was just great. And when I looked at the accomplishments for continuous improvement team, clearly there's a role for us as board members to be thinking about how we help to brand and communicate and, you know, really present this as a, you know, that part of the long-range plan that has legs. And this is how we embed it in the schools. So it's just, you know, good stuff. And thank you for inviting me to be a part.
Well, there's our branding, and I'll just give you a little bit of background on that. We started with, and you all know because you got the t-shirt, we started with 21st Century Learning Own It last January to kick off our institute, Technoblast. And then as we started thinking about the larger plan and how to brand it, Julie suggested to CIT, it's our future, own it. Because really, it is the long-range plan is for everyone. And it is about our future. And the only way that we can bring that plan to fruition really is for all of us to have a stake in it and to have a piece of that. So we now, instead of just calling it the long-range plan, which Julie said, it's kind of boring. It's called the long-range plan. Better to be able to use it in a broader sense and talking about this is what we do, it's our future. So we begin with the learner characteristics, which the Board of Education adopted in 2007. And only minor tweaking has occurred since 2007, but we really believe that, as Kim referenced even in the work that we've done this year, that the learner characteristics have finally come alive for us and in our classrooms and in the conversations that teachers are having. And as part of our learner characteristics, Julie attended one of our CIT meetings and helped us to really frame and put this in perspective, because the learner characteristics are foundational to the long-range plan and to this concept of 21st century learning. And so trying to operationalize a definition that embodies all of these characteristics and makes sense of what is 21st century learning and what does it mean, we crafted a definition and for 21st century learning, and I will say, you know, we were all kind of at our tables working on this definition, and Julie's writing and away on her netbook, and her table team has the benefit, of course, of having her there. And this emerged from that table team, and we felt so great about it that we have used this as the really the definer for 21st century learning. And so between the two, the learning characteristics and this definition lay the foundation for the long-range plan. And all of it, of course, is built upon the vision, which was created in the 2006-2007 school year as well. And I really want to note for you that I think we've stayed true to the mission. And as we rebuilt this long-range plan, trying to create a plan that, in fact, embraces this, leads us to this as the mission of this district. So, it's our future, own it. How did we, where do we begin? If we, just very briefly, I'm going to go back, as you've had this update once, mid-year, but last year, as we looked at renewing the long-range plan, we took the former plan to CIT and said, what of that plan have we done in the last 5 years? What of that plan is time to move away from or move on? What in that plan needs to be deepened, and what are the next steps for us? And we started with a small group, subgroup from CIT, and then from there, the whole CIT group said, why don't we send out focus groups to all of our staff to ask what our next steps should be? And so internal focus groups were held. We had a community group and a PTA group also that we led for focus groups. And then we had the board review all of our initial plans for the long-range plan, and we were able to submit comments back to us. That was last year. So we began this year's work then, which is really the first year of implementation, with the 100-day plan. And that was an administrative plan that the cabinet team put together. And it was based on the results of the focus group. It was based on the plan that was built around expectations. And that 100-day plan, you saw an update in January or February, I believe, for that plan. And now what we're going to talk about is the transformative action plan that has emerged after the 100-day plan. The goals in their shortest form. And then the transformative action plan. After we completed the 100-day plan, the administrative team came back and said, okay, how about that work we've been doing? Where is it going to lead us? And our traditional way of building an action plan, which we still have, is similar to the 100-day plan. We build out every little action we're going to take, and then we don't want to share it because it's our plan. It's the administrative work plan, which directs our work. On a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And so we really talked about, well, we need a plan that can be shared in a much more public way, particularly with the teams for excellence, so that the teams know what it is we are working to accomplish over the course of the next 2 years. Now, remember, our plan's a five-year plan, but we usually try to work in two-year increments. So the transformative plan is a plan for the next 2 years. And we'll begin with goal one, which is the achievement in the 21st century. You are all pretty familiar with all of these things because you've heard Karen do updates on each of them, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but the transformative action plan for our goal one is based in the work of the think tank It's based in developing the learner characteristics, self-assessment, examining our schedules, particularly at the elementary school, to accommodate all of the needs of our individual learners, and consideration for implementation of foreign language in the elementary schools. All of that you've had updates on already. So goal two. How does goal two relate to goal one and to all of the other goals here? Goal two is our human capital goal, so that is the development of our greatest resource, our personnel. And one of the things that we think is going to be extremely important as we move forward into 21st century learning is to ensure, in addition to the screening protocol that we use, that we have a protocol that finds a way of assessing potential employees in their learner characteristics. Because in order for us to be a learning organization and to move forward making the learner characteristics a part of who we are, we have to make sure that the people we hire embody those skills and attitudes themselves. And then looking at ensuring that our professional development is embedded, it meets the needs of 21st century learning and reflects the total environmental learning that we want to create. The next goal, which is transformative actions through our technology, you've seen a good deal of that already this year, because you've seen the infusion of technology into both our elementary and our middle schools. And so creating that access of one-to-one for our students is one of the big pieces that we've been working on in the long-range technology plan and in that which can transform our organization to a 21st century. But if you look at the next two pieces of that we're also believing that in order for us to create true access and be a 21st century learning community, we have to be able to ensure that students have access to technology beyond the school day. And so that, over the course of the next 2 years, will be a lot of the work that we will be exploring. How do you do that? What partnerships might we need to develop? How do we open up our schools to students so that they have and their families have access to the technology that they may not have in their homes? And secondly, we think that when we look at transforming our schools, we think that the learning media centers are a great place to start in terms of creating that model environment, so that they are both a place where print, electronic, and performance opportunities exist. That it is no longer just a library, but that it is a place where laboratory work can occur. It's a place where students can come perform. It is a place where they access information through the media that we have there. And of course, print media is a part of that as well. So we're focusing our work right now on Hadley, because it is the centerpiece, and we'll, as we are able to redesign and think about that, it will allow us to be informed for our elementary schools as well. So those are two huge transformative actions under creating access for our students. The second area of our technology plan is to just stay on top of the digital world and to make sure that we are moving our organization in the way that it needs to. So that includes not only our learning organization, our students, our schools, but also our business organization, and ensuring that that is moving in a 21st century model. So in another 2 years, no paper at all by any of our desks, and making sure that we have as much capacity as we possibly can to move in a digital and flexible and adaptable environment. Goal four is our ambassadorship goal. And we have two transformative actions, and I'm going to ask Julie to come up and speak with you about the positive core work that's been done. But the two areas, you know, and I will say this, as we've talked about this, we really, though we're not going to go back and change the goal, but we really started talking about that the positive core is really the goal. And ambassadorship becomes a transformative action. Mm-hmm. But because we've already published the plan, we feel like, okay, we can talk all the way through it. So I'm going to let Julie come up and introduce members of her positive core writing team that are here this evening.
Earlier
earlier this year, in the fall and winter, we spent some time conducting focus groups to discover our positive core. And what that is those things collectively that we all agree we do well together. And every organization has a positive core, but it can be a large positive core or something that people don't pay much attention to. But we really wanted to identify it, articulate it, and communicate it so that we can build on it in our improvement efforts. The theory being that it's just a lot more effective to build on things that are working than always being in a deficit problem-solving mode. So we had a number of focus groups in different settings, and we ended up with 106 participants. And they were asked to reflect on their association with the district, their work with the district, or if they preferred to think of something they may have done in a volunteer capacity, whatever came to mind for them as being a very positive experience in their work life, where they just felt like they were cooking on all cylinders and felt really good about what they were doing. And so they all shared these conversations, these reflections, and then they were all asked to document them in a form, as well as to put down some concrete wishes that they had for the future. And so we took that, all that material, and we had a writing team, and we have most of the writing team here tonight: Stacy Slater, Gail Minkus, Patty Venter, for example. Jody Conrad was also on our team, and Frank Thomas-Gevich was with us for a while, and then he was not able to stay with it, but he did contribute to our work as well. So we, what you have in front of you is the draft statement that we developed, and then you also have a page that talks a little bit about what the positive core is, and that's some information that we shared with all of the people participating in the focus groups. And then you also have our tabulation grid. It was really important to us that whatever we came up with was very authentic to feedback. We didn't want to insert our own attitudes. Mm-hmm. And it's all subjective material. So the process that we developed for authenticity was we went through all the feedback and we identified and encoded the themes that we perceived. And then we divided up the feedback forms and we tallied to see how frequently these themes were mentioned. And we also went through and captured some of the phraseology that was used in the feedback, actual language that participants used. And with that, we set about trying to capture in a concise way, in a compelling way, what people were telling us, what they felt were the strengths of themselves and of the school district. And so what you have in front of you is the draft document of that. And if you look at the way it's written, then you see there's a italicized phrase at the end of each segment. That could almost be shorthand for our archive before, maybe you can call it. So the whole process is meant to help us discover what's working. What are the conditions of success people were asked to reflect on? Well, why were you able to be successful in whatever it was that they were sharing? Was it your coworkers? Was it that you had training? What were the things that made you feel like you see successful? And so we feel like this work helps us to clarify those conditions of success so that as an organization we can then set about strengthening them and propagating them, and that less successful behaviors and attitudes will just kind of get smoothed out over time. Mm-hmm. But it was a very upbeat process for the most part. I think the groups were, and the members of the writing team all participated in the groups, and I think that several other people in this room participated. And, you know, probably not everybody had a upbeat experience, but it seemed like the general attitude was very upbeat. People felt happy to be able to be positive. And, you know, we didn't ask people, like, oh, you know, you can't do anything negative, but just to try to step out of the problem-solving mode and looking at everything as a problem and try to step into a strength-based mode. And it was interesting, the level of consistency among the different groups. It was interesting that there was almost no comment about personal convenience, personal comfort, remuneration. There was really almost none of that. Would you agree? And so we felt like what we were after was to capture that, and that's something that we can use to build from in this district.
Thanks, Jamie.
Focus groups were held also by members of the TFEs. So Julie held the first focus groups with each of the TFEs and then asked for volunteers if there were others who wanted to facilitate the focus groups. And I'm not sure how many offers you had, but you had a great many offers.
I had plenty of help.
Plenty of help from people who were willing to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, once they participated and they felt comfortable in helping others through the process.
I know some members of the audience probably don't have a copy of this. Is that correct?
They're
outside.
They're out there. Actually,
as long as people have copies of it, I was just going to read it if they didn't have copies of it. Because the positive course is truly a way to ground our work also in the long-range plan by building on those things which we do well and strengthening our organization. I think one of the things that you'll note in the data is that we were given good feedback that we were heading in the right direction, that the feedback said continue where you're at and continue to strive for excellence. Mm-hmm. And we think that's affirmation of where we're heading.
And also the learner characteristics were very strongly reflected. Mm-hmm. Not anything we talked about as we were writing it, it's just something that happened. As we reflected on it after it was written, they were very prominent in the document.
I think you brought this up a minute ago, but I'm looking at the mission statement and thinking back to that boathouse three sessions over June and July that summer, and that conversation that we had with community members and the energy that was in that room. And I look at this and I think this is really a pullout of some of that conversation and what we ended up with. And so to have it, you know, 4 years later, 5 years later, and still and you know, in some ways replicate that, but feel more strongly about it, that you were able to develop this in terms of what you came together with, is it would alarm me if this were very different than where we were living 4 or 5 years ago. It just shows that whole nature of iteration and kind of where we're ending up. So,
yeah. I think there's a lot of intersection in our plan with itself. You know, it's not a plan of disparate goals. They all connect to each other in some way. And if you look at the last transformative action, which is, well, not on that one, but that's okay. Strengthening family and family engagement, which also ties to many of the other things that we've been doing, but also the outreach to create access to all of our families so that they can be a part of the school community. The transformative actions for the communication plan and is obviously to continue down this road of making sure that our families are engaged, that our community is engaged and understands. And so the branding of this plan is important because it is something we want to take beyond our internal stakeholders and into our community so that we can have shared ownership
in the future of District 41, which is a community commitment, not just an internal stakeholder commitment. It means so much in our community to have schools that exceed, to have schools that are leading the way, and that's really the end game for this long-range plan, is for us to be a global leader. 21st century actions for our finance and facilities, and you know that there are two major drivers here. A sustainable financial system that will allow us to continue to thrive and reach our goals and be able to do that in a way that does not increase the burden on our taxpayers. To create business practices that are reflective of a 21st century organization, again, tying back into goal number three. And then finally, making a plan for our facilities a reality. And in the next 2 years, while, you know, board members, you know how many conversations we've been having about this, and as do other members of our community, but we really believe that by the end of this year, we will have in place a very specific timeline and direction for our facilities and what we will need in order to become 21st century facilities. And if there's a good thing about being delayed, we know so much more now than we did 2 years ago when we undertook, or 3 years ago when we undertook our master facilities plan. And the think tank work that's been occurring, which is informing us significantly on what our facilities might look like, are really going to help drive a different look to the next master facilities plan. And our goal is to begin to connect with the think tank work around our facilities, reimagine what we can do in the short term. John, one of the things you talked about is create a model classroom. What does that model classroom look like? As I mentioned, our goal right now is to look at what does a 21st century learning center look like, a learning media center, which could include STEM and STEAM within that environment. And how do we begin to set up those laboratory experiences for elementary students where we now don't have that space for design that space? How might we design that space within the confines of what we currently have in our 20th century buildings? And so our intent is to lay that plan out over the course of the next several months so that we can actually begin to see without a full-blown facility renovation, but begin to see what the models might look like within our schools so that they also allow us to create communication devices with our community and help educate our community around what our facility needs are. So that's the short update on our transformative action plans. Again, those are two-year plans. We believe that at the end of the two-year period, we will be well on our way in creating a transformed 21st century school district where we can really lead the way for other school districts across the state and across the nation. So we're happy to answer any questions that you might have. We've got lots of experts here.
Mm-hmm. How many think tank meetings have you guys had?
We were meeting twice a month. In October, we took March off.
Just because it's October.
Mm-hmm. And twice this summer. And then they'll pick up again twice a month in the fall. More meetings than any of our other committees, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like
well, that's the next level of implementation of the Common Core, so Matt, I guess that's what you want. Any other questions?
Well, just a comment, and this is something that actually has been simmering because we, as a board, have been talking about communication in lots of different ways. But when you have under here, this last part, I made a note to myself on here, under the Goal 5, communication, this last one reads, continued emphasis on written communication plans. And I thought, I was glad to see that because I know that there's always this desire to meld the social media piece and the digital piece and all that, and yet I think we know that our community has a large population of folks who aren't tied into that. But it made me think of, I don't know why, but I thought public service announcement, but why not reach out through our print media to invite our seniors or others who aren't aware that they can, you know, be a part of our e-news, be a part of board highlights, those kind of things. They're such great tools. Even being able to connect to your neighborhood school, like all of the school's e-newsletters, just to know that they might be welcome down the street to join at a party or whatever it might be. That, to me, part of the transformative piece that I read into this was, you know, a recognition of this, the broader community, and that we are really blessed with a very supportive community. And how do we use some simple strategies to keep reaching out and doing that? And again, I think it's hard to sit and know that you're so embedded in this and so much conversation, but I did feel the energy when I read this, and the word transformative, you're looking for action, and it was ripe with that, full of it. So, big plans.
Big plans.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks to all of you for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Thanks for your work on it as well. Very much. Yeah, thank you. Have a good night. Thank you. All right, under action items, our consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes the human resources section, personnel report, employment recommendation, leave of absence request, and resignations. Item 2, finance, facilities, and operations, including the prevailing wage act. And item 3, other members, the approval of board meeting minutes, May 29th, 2012 regular meeting, and May 29th, 2012 regular meeting closed session. Thank you, Drew. Second?
Just to note for board members, you do have a revised closed session minutes on you.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Andrea?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Kelvin?
Yes. Item B, superintendent recommendations. The administration is recommending that the board approve the following recommendations that were discussed at the May 29th meeting. Item 1, the foreign language Spanish textbook adoption for Hadley. The administration is recommending that the board approve its Spanish textbook adoption recommendation for Avasemos by Holt McDougall, which will include new student textbooks and workbooks, online resources, and teacher resources for a total cost of $23,769. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Dondre?
Yes.
Mrs.
Melton? Yes. Item 2, the 2012 carpet purchase for 21st century classrooms. As part of the continued rollout of a 21st century learning environment, the administration is recommending the purchase of carpeting for a portion of each of the 24 classrooms, and that the purchase be made through Educational and Institutional Cooperative Purchasing, E&I, at an estimated cost of $1,765 per classroom and a total project cost of $42,360. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yep.
Mr.
Donrad?
Yes.
Mrs.
Howard?
Yes.
Mrs. Melton? Yes. Superintendent's report.
Very briefly, I have just 2 items. I sent an invitation to board members today. Thank you to those of you who have responded. It's in relationship to holding a Saturday workshop to be able to discuss board priorities for next year, as well as hold a closed session for negotiation matter updates. If you could either let me know now or respond tomorrow, that would be great. Otherwise, I have alternate dates that I also have to suggest to you.
What, July what?
July 21st. from 9 or 8 till noon.
It's Saturday morning.
Pardon me? Donuts, yes.
No donuts.
I'll make sure we have donuts or something. The other item, which was discussed at Finance and Facilities, as an update, we have a minor change that we are going to do in the Hadley parking lot project. We have decided not to do the off-street, you know, the pull-out parking south of the parking lot. So south of the driveway, because students then have to get out and cross the driveway. So we have a savings in that of about $8,000, which will be a credit to the account. But we have decided to spend $10,000, so a little net of about $1,500 or something, to take the utility pole that is on the outskirt of on Hawthorne, like right at the detention pond now, right in that area, and take that out and put the cable underground there. That pole has been moved three times in the last 10 years maybe, and so we have an opportunity while we're digging everything up to lay the cable underground. So that really will be a net expense, as I said, of about $1,500. Just wanted to make sure the board was aware of that. And that's it for my report.
Board reports.
There wasn't much on finance. We only had a couple items. One of them was a supplemental pay recommendation. The other one is, again, a review of the preliminary budget. I would respectfully request that any board members that have budget questions, forward those to Ann or Bob in the next couple days, because the budget will be posted. Is 2 weeks from now?
That's correct. June 25th board meeting, following approval.
I know we've had a lot of discussions about the budget, so I just want to keep that in everyone's mind.
Thank you, Drew. Anything else?
Just a quick note. You know, I think most of us are at graduation, so I just wanted to recognize Mr. Kenwood for his fine speech.
Yes, thank you, John.
Good job, John.
Both the students found it inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Some students did take risks and come out to the boathouse
and dance. Yeah, very well done. And just a nice evening all the way around. So thanks to Dr. Dranzoff and his staff. Thank you, Dan. Just very briefly, I attended the last CIT meeting. We've already heard all about that. Just a very good meeting. I want to thank board members for being willing to carve out time in July as we can. I think the long-range plan really provides some food for thought for us in terms of our priorities and wanting to kind of coalesce some discussion around that. So if we can do that, that would be great. And I know how busy everybody is. So Ann and I spoke about this at our last president meeting, and I'm just thankful for people being willing to do that. And then today actually was timely because there was a link that came in, and I just made a copy of this to remind myself to mention it, the NSBA email that we get for national affiliates. And they have this call for proposals that's actually kind of a media-based thing where you do a 15-slide or less update on something interesting in your district. It was just caught my eye, and so I clicked on the link because I had 5 minutes to watch this. And the particular link that's on there is actually the story of a high school in Maryland that had been retrofitted from a middle school. And all the things they talked about in here are the things we're talking about, which is the color scheme and the design of hallway space and using space in a way that really provides ownership to students. And it's just 5 minutes long, but if you get a chance to click on the link, it's really interesting. And it made me think about the visits that many of us took to other schools when we were doing some of those visits, and especially to Hubble, when they talked about some of the way they designed. So pretty cool. And I think affirms, at least it affirmed for me, the direction of the district and the 21st century learning process and protocol, and in a pretty vivid way. Lots of neat slides, and how the students have owned that building, and the increase in attendance, the increase in academics, and again, it's a high school, so it's a little bit different, but message is the same. So if you get a chance, peek at that. Very cool. Let's see. We have no discussion items that are scheduled for tonight. Upcoming meetings, June 25th, 2012. We have a regular meeting here back at Central Services at 7:30. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board? Right, public participation. Is there anyone who'd like to address the board at this time?
No, but thank you for
it. Yeah. You're welcome, Sue. Kirk, nothing? Okay. All right, the board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrag?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session.